Hello, I'm Micah.
I'm DJ Drainfield.
We're here with a special guest.
Hi, this is DJ Corla.
This is Book It. We review books every single week. Today's book is Songs of Kabir.
The following views presented in this half hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California. With that, I suppose now is a better time than any to introduce this book. Songs of Kabir is a collection of... I mean, it's called Songs of Kabir, but I've always understood him as, like, primarily a poet. DJ Corley, you want to give your perspective on that?
So it's interesting. He was a poet. He was definitely a poet. But the way his poems were spread were not written. They were spread via spoken word. And eventually those words turned into songs because that's easier to remember.
Yeah.
He was a poet, but his poems got put to song, as did many poets.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a fair way of putting it. I think that speaks to the prevalence of oral tradition within South Asia at this time, where, you know, all the great epics were conveyed through poetry as well as song. Like the Mahabharata, I don't think was like actually written out for a very, very long time, like centuries after it was composed. So that's very valuable context. Thank you so much. But Songs of Kabir is a, how would you say, collection of many of these compositions from Kabir that have been translated by, this version is translated by Tagore, actually. Which is very cool. Do you want to tell the listeners who Tagore is? I feel like you're probably better suited for that than I am.
Sure, I can tell you all about Tagore. Rabindranath Tagore, so he hails from the region of Bengal in South Asia. Although he's primarily associated with the Indian side of Bengal, he spent his time in both sides because the sides weren't there when he was there, when he was alive. Tagore is a polymath. He studied many languages, dabbled in many different things, and so he was responsible for this translation. He worked in tangent with someone else on this translation. I don't remember exactly what her name is, he produced
Evelyn Underhill.
There you go, Evelyn Underhill. he studied everything. Such a creative person. Yeah.
And he was most active, I want to say, like late 19th, early 20th century, correct?
Late 19th century, early 20th century.
Because he died shortly after, right?
He died pretty quick in the early 20th century. He did not see the independence of India.
Yeah, correct. And that would have made him either a little bit after or contemporaries with Gulab, correct?
Probably. I think that would be a correct assertion. Their lives definitely overlapped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Off of that tangent, let's talk about the book. Let's talk about Songs of Kabir. And then after that, we can have DJ Corla perform some of these songs of Kabir, which is very, very exciting. You said it would be in Awadhi?
So actually, it's very interesting. What I remembered it was in Awadhi, but actually he did them in a very specific language that was a mix of Awadhi, Khariboli, Brajbhasha. It's many different northern Hindi languages called Sadhukaddi. And he wrote in some, he wrote in pure Bhojpuri for one of his poems, a few of his poems. But the way he wrote was a mixture of many different languages. So if you're familiar with Punjabi, you're familiar with Hindi, you'll see a lot of those influences in there.
Wonderful. With that, I guess let's get into our off-rip opinions on the book. And then afterwards, we can maybe share some of our favorite poems from it. Micah, if you have some that you have. And then how long do you want to sing? Like, I don't want to make you do it too long, but I also
mostly going to recite the poems, so...
Yeah. How long would you like to recite?
I'll recite, like, one or two, maybe three.
How long do you think that would take?
5 minutes, probably.
Okay.
Not too long.
Perfect. So we can have the show close out with that, and we can spend the next 18 minutes talking about Songs of Kabir. And please feel free to chime in that process.
Sure thing.
Awesome. I really enjoy Songs of Kabir. I'm a big poetry enjoyer. I have like talked about Rumi pretty extensively to you, Micah. DJ Sunday Gravy and I host a show Thursdays 9 to 9:30 called Rumi Rumi Rumi. For 30 minutes we just read Rumi. So I really enjoy Sufi poetry. I also enjoy just generally poetry with about devotion and ways of worship. And so I naturally was very inclined towards reading Kabir. Also, I had read Kabir in the past in a more limited capacity. But I really enjoy a lot of the themes of Kabir's work because I come from a Hindu family, but Kabir is still very much highly lauded and appreciated by Hindus because of his more... I would say it's a very progressive take for its time, and that he was not extremely orthodox in his beliefs, but was rather, how would you say, he reminds me in many ways of a perennialist. Are either of you familiar with what a perennialist is? So it's a religious ideology that essentially says that all ways of worship in and of themselves are legitimate because the ideology accepts that there is God, and how people worship God takes its own forms, but that doesn't delegitimize those forms of worship. So a Hindu can be just as right as a Christian because at the end of the day, they're both worshiping God, even if one person thinks that God takes multiple forms and one person believes that God takes only one form, because they're still worshiping the same divine being. And humans in some ways are naive for thinking that they fully understand the one fully appropriate manner in which to worship this deity or these deities. And I think that Kabir's focus in several poems really emphasizes that message, insofar as he's saying that you don't need to feel... I think we were talking about this a little bit off air. Do you want to talk about that, his perception on subscribing to organized religion?
Sure, I can talk a little bit about it. You have to look at Kabir in his context. He was in the middle of the Bhakti movement as well, mm-hmm. as the rise of Sufi, more unorthodox, heterodox Sufi movements within South Asia. Mm-hmm. And so he takes inspiration from them both and syncretizes them into this form where he essentially doesn't necessarily adhere to religious ritualism, and he promotes more, and this idea comes a lot from Bhakti as well as Sufi movements, of just worshiping the divine, whether that be, you know, through chanting or however. He says just keep your faith in him, love him, and a lot of his poems and in Songs of Kabir express his devotion as a form of love. He even has one where he expresses himself as the divine, as going to himself as a bride and the divine as his husband, almost, which is a whole another can of worms that you can unpack. But yeah, very interesting.
I also think, to further expand on your answer, it's useful to contextualize what the Bhakti movement was.
Oh yes, sorry. Bhakti movement in India was Hindus.
Began in the 13th century, I believe.
Yes, yeah. 13th century. It was basically a reformist movement within Hinduism that sought to not abandon necessarily, but place less emphasis on ritualism. It's a huge spectrum, so there's a lot of different movements within the Bhakti movement, but ultimately the focus was bhakti, or devotion. Basically, keep your faith in God, worship him how you like, and that's the only thing that really matters. All of these rituals and sacrifices and things like that don't necessarily matter in the long term, as long as you have faith.
And I would like to read, or actually, before that, Micah, I'm sorry, I've kept you out of this, unfortunately. That was not intentional. But do you have any opinions you'd like to share on Songs of Kabir before we move on to sharing some poems we'd like?
Yeah. I don't really read a lot of poetry or anything like that, or I hadn't before. I really only read, like, a lot of classic literature. And then in our last book show, we read Rumi. And then obviously this time we read Songs of Kabir. And I feel like I really liked Songs of Kabir. I like that it's honestly not a super long read. It didn't really take me that long. And I feel like that's a really nice thing. Because I feel like something that happens when reading like literature is you kind of get bored. This happened when we read Another Country last week. Like 100 pages in, I couldn't do it anymore. So I really enjoyed that, like with poetry and Songs of Kabir. Every single like page was kind of like a new poem. So it didn't feel like a task to read. Also, I don't have a lot of like the historical context that you guys have. So I don't mind you guys talking more than me. It's really interesting to learn more about it. But yeah, that's all I really have to say.
I think I definitely agree with what you had to say about like just reading poetry in general. I think that's why I enjoyed so much, is that in a sense, poetry is like the TikTok of literature, in how it's short form content that's easily consumable, and each one can really be completely different, but all from the same creator, and still very enjoyable. I think maybe this generation is actually best suited for the consumption of poetry because of the shorter attention spans. Who knows? But with that, I wanted to read a few poems I really enjoyed from Songs of Kabir, because I think there's some really beautiful stuff in here, and this one I think really perfectly ties into what we were talking about with respect to Kabir's philosophies towards religion. All things are created by the Om. The love form is his body. He is without form, without quality, without decay. Seek thou union with him. But that formless God takes 1,000 forms in the eyes of his creatures. He is pure and indestructible. His form is infinite and fathomless. He dances in rapture, and waves of form arise from his dance. The body and the mind cannot contain themselves when they are touched by his great joy. He is immersed in all consciousness, all joys and all sorrows. He has no beginning and no end. He holds all within his bliss. I think even this point about how his God dances in raptures and waves of form arise from his dance could potentially be considered a reference to Nataraja, the dancing form of Shiva.
Yeah.
But I really quite enjoy this. I think it really perfectly encapsulates what I said earlier, his philosophy, in that this deity takes so many forms in the eyes of his creatures, but all of them remain this deity. And so I really enjoyed that one. Micah, do you have any poems that you like that you want to read? Not to put you on the spot.
There's a few that I liked, but do you want to read before me?
Yes. Okay, perfect. This is another one I really quite like. I think there's something interesting about the translation, so I wanted to ask you, DJ Korla. In Tagore's translation, he has "and Kabir says," and then quotations. Is that Tagore's injection into the poem, or is that actually Kabir saying "and Kabir says"?
Actually, no, it is not Tagore's injection. If you listen to a lot of Kabir songs, they will say Kabir, there's a specific like term they use, like Kabir kehte hai or something like that. Kabir kahe. But yeah, that's from Kabir himself. He's making it clear that this is my philosophy.
Yeah. Okay, very interesting. I guess I'll just go ahead and start with this one. The light of the sun, the moon, and the stars shine bright. The melody of love swells forth, and the rhythm of love's detachment beats the time. Day and night, the chorus of music fills the heavens, and Kabir says, "My beloved one gleams like the lightning flash in the sky. Do you know how the moments perform their adoration? Waving its rows of lamps, the universe sings in worship day and night. There are the hidden banner and the secret canopy. There, the sound of the unseen bells is heard." Kabir says, "Their adoration never ceases. There, the Lord of the universe sitteth on his throne. The whole world does its work and commits its error, but few are the lovers who know the beloved. The devout seeker is he who mingles in his heart the double currents of love and detachment, like the mingling of the streams of the Ganges and Jumna. In his heart, the sacred water flows day and night, and thus the round of births and deaths is brought to an end. Behold what wonderful rest is in the Supreme Spirit, and he enjoys it, who makes himself meet for it. Held by the cords of love, the swing of the ocean of joy sways to and fro, and a mighty sound breaks forth in song. See what a lotus blooms there without water." And Kabir says, "My heart's bee drinks its nectar." Oh, wow. This is a long one. So I think we're going to cut it off here. Oh, wow. This is quite long. But I really enjoy it because I think this poem is characterized by several mentions of love. And I think that feels very reminiscent of Sufi and Rumi poetry, where... in many ways, Sufi poetry is predicated on the idea of one's personal relationship with God and one having a functionally romantic relationship with God in which they adore this person so much. And though it's unrequited by virtue of them being on earth and God being in the heavens, I think framing worship around the idea of love is something I find very beautiful. And I think that Kabir and Rumi both do it very exceptionally. I also think a lot of Gulab gets into that as well, and I think it's also very beautiful when he does it, but Gulab, it's a little harder to find some translations of his work these days. But yeah, those are two I really enjoyed. We have about 10 minutes left. Micah, if there's anything you enjoyed, you're welcome to... Yeah. Oh, you have it written down? Okay, perfect.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed a lot of them, but... my favorite one is very short. Okay. It says, "I have stilled my restless mind and my heart is radiant, for in thatness I have seen beyond thatness. In company I have seen the comrade himself. Living in bondage, I have set myself free. I have broken away from the clutch of all narrowness." Kabir says, "I have attained the unattainable and my heart is colored with the color of love." I think that one was very beautiful, and definitely my favorite one that I read out of all of them. Even though it's very short.
Could you, I guess, tell us, like, what about it you feel like connects with you?
Honestly, I think the last, like, very ending where it says, Kabir says, "I have attained the unattainable. My heart is colored with the color of love." I just think, I don't really know how to explain my thoughts, honestly. I just feel like that was... like, it resonated with me in a way. But yeah, I'm sorry. I don't really know how to explain why. I just felt like it was really nice. I also like the one that you were going to read, the super long one. There's, like, I like the middle part of it. I can't remember what it says, but it's a very good one. So.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to not always have the words for why you like a poem. I think in many ways poetry is... felt rather than thought, if that makes sense. DJ Corla, do you want to share any, I guess, broad opinions on the poems we shared, or talk about some poems you like? I can hand you my book so you can find some stuff you may enjoy.
I liked both of your choices. I think they were very interesting. I can read the English translation for one of the ones I have here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's number 69. That number was not on purpose, I swear.
I'm going to leave it to you to find it.
Okay.
Because it goes from 72 to 20, so.
Okay.
Not easy to track down.
That's crazy.
The Roman numerals, I still don't understand them.
So the title of this one is Jo Khuda Masjid Vasat Hai. If God be within the mosque, then to whom does this world belong? If Ram be within the image which you find upon your pilgrimage, then who is there to know what happens without? Hari is in the east. Allah is in the west. Look within your heart, for there you will find both Karim and Ram. All the men and women of this world are his living forms. Kabir is the child of Allah and of Ram. He is my guru. He is my peer. I think that one's really fascinating because of the syncretism of everything. That's why I love Kabir. He's syncretic and it's fascinating.
This is a very good one. I like this one that you picked. I'm glad I have it flagged already. But with that, how about we do this? We can have you read now, and then afterwards we can talk about what the next show will be, and then get into Dr. Angie's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Sure thing. So I'll read the original. Say original. There are multiple versions. So this is one version I found in the original language of the English one that I just read. Jo khudaye masjid basat hai aur muluk ke hi kera tirat murat ram nivasi bahar kare ko hera purab disa hari ko basa paschim allah mukama dil mein khoj dil hi mein khoju inhe karim rama jete aurat mard upani so sab roop tumhara kabir pungra allah ram ka so guru peer hamara. So that's one of them. I'll read another one. Tirath mein to sab pani hai, hove nahi kachu anhe dekha. Pratima sakal to jar hai bhai, bole nahi bolaye dekha. Puran Quran sab ye baat hai. ये घट का पर्दा खोल देखा अनुभव के बाद कबीर कहे या सब है झूठी पोल देखा. Would you like me to read one more?
Or maybe it'd be more appropriate for us to snap rather than clap, right?
I'll read one more. संतन जात न पूछो निर्गुनिया साद ब्राह्मण साद छात्री साध्य जाति बनिया आधा माँ 36 कौम है तेधी तोर पूछनिया साधे नौ साधे धोबी साध जाति है बरिया साधा मन रैदास संत है सुपच ऋषि से भंगिया हिंदू तुर्क दोए दीन बने हैं कच्छू नहीं पच्छीनिया.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. That was so very beautiful. I agree. Can you speak Awadhi conversationally, or can you just recite?
I can recite it because it's written in Devanagari. I learned to read Devanagari for 2 years at UC Davis.
Wow.
So this is where it's coming in handy, but yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate all of the context and perspective you provided, as well as that wonderful performance, I guess. Would be a performance, right?
Sure, yeah.
Reading.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. With that, do you want to tell the listeners what we're going to be reading for next week?
Oh my God. Next week is going to be crazy because we're reading The Godfather.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a little 180 from Songs of Kabir and reading Mario Puzo's The Godfather. We will try to watch the film as well, and maybe we can make some comparative commentary, but at the very worst, we'll both read The Godfather and give our thoughts. I'm very excited for this one. I've been meaning to read The Godfather for quite some time.
I'm also very excited. I've never seen The Godfather or read it, so it's going to be interesting.
The Godfather is one of my favorite movies, so I'm very excited for this. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And what are we reading after The Godfather? Do you remember?
It's got to... I don't even know. Honestly, it might just be Yukio Mishima. We got a lot of Yukio Mishima books planned, so...
Yeah, chances are it's probably a Mishima book. All right, then. We are going to finish up here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much again to DJ Korla for joining us.
Absolutely.
Up next, Dr. Andy's... I feel like I always mess it. Is it, it's poetry first? Okay, I got it right then. Up next is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Please feel free to stay tuned.
Bye.
Say bye.
Oh, bye.
Look out now, this is the Diz, Dizzy Gillespie that is, and let me give you some information. If you want to hear some good sounds, the sounds that's round, keep your radio tuned to KDVS in Davis, 90.3 on your FM dial. Look out. Ow. This is the Diz signing off.
Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on your campus and community radio station. Thanks very much for tuning in on a Wednesday afternoon or thereafter if you're listening to the podcast. For the last 24 years, I've been delving deep into the basement of Freeborn Hall. Some would say now condemned Freeborn Hall here at the University of California, Davis, where I've been teaching for 34 years, to share with you interviews with fascinating people, with poets, with pundits, with people who care deeply about creativity, with offbeat individuals who will embrace language holistically. As you know, we typically focus on the absolute meaning of words. But what about the sounds? What about the format? What about the rhythm? Can't we communicate with more than just logical meaning? I would say so, and so would the people who join me on this radio show as guests. For instance, this afternoon on the radio show, we have Dorinda Wegner. Dorinda Wegner is a peri anesthesia certified nurse. You didn't expect me to say that, as well as a poet and an essayist who lives in Richmond, Virginia. She's a Poets and Writers Magazine 2024 Get the Word Out Poetry Cohort Participant. That is a title that's so long it barely fits on a CV. Dorinda Wagner has a new book out. It's titled Four Fields. It was published the day before yesterday. We're going to ask her to share with us an excerpt from that new book of poetry and to tell us about her work as an author and an editor. In the second half of the program, we will hear from Rena Palumbo. Rena Palumbo herself is a writer and an editor. She's working on a novel and two nonfiction long-form writing projects alongside short fiction, creative nonfiction, and prose poetry. So, two up-and-coming authors who will share with us excerpts of their creativity as well as scintillating conversation. Just what you've come to expect when you tune in to KDVS on the hottest day of the year. They promised me 112 degrees at this hour, but it's only 110. I will try to mask my disappointment as I welcome you to the July 3rd edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be back in just a moment with Dorinda Wegener here